Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Mount Zion at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August the 8th of 2014, or it is 8/13/2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, "My Yah and I Go in the Field Together." Yah and I go in the field together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My Yah and I walk through the meadows hewn. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My Yah and I walk through the meadows here. He tells me all the years that went before me, when heavenly plans were made for me to be. When all was but a dream of deep conception, to come to life, earth's burden, glory seen. When all was but a dream of deep conception, to come to life, earth's burden, glory seen. My Yah and I will go for I together. We'll walk and talk, and just as good friends do. This earth will pass, and with its common trifle, but Yah and I will go unending. This earth will pass, and with its common trifle, this Yah and I will go unendingly. Everlasting Kingdom of the David, Part 10. We're going to continue on with Time of Greeting, Volume 2, and that's Number 10. So, we're Part 10 and Number 10 of Time of Greeting. A text of address entitled Upshoots, Not Offshoots. Okay, so now we've had this before, but we're going to continue it again. We're going to first refer to a prayer thought. Our prayer thought is going to be the second, the book of the Chronicles, number two, the second book of the Chronicles. And we're going to start with chapter one. And we've got some things we need to learn here about the dedication of the everlasting kingdom of David. And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom. And the Yahweh of Elohim was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, unto the captains of the thousands and of the hundreds, and unto the judges and to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went unto the high place that was at Gibeon, for there was a tabernacle of the congregation of Elohim, which the Moses, the servant of the Yahweh, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of the Yahweh had David brought up from the Kirjath, Jearim, unto the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Yahweh, and Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither unto the brazen altar before the Yahweh, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings up on it. And that night did Elohim appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto Yahweh, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Yahweh Elohim, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now, I want to say something here at this point. Is to be an antitypical David emerge in these last days, in which we are in these last days, and we're in the 12th parabolic hour, the designated time for this antitypical David to appear. And so we have a very similar situation here, that this is a first in our day. So we have this here, Yahweh reestablishing and restoring, Yahshua, restoring the everlasting kingdom of David. And Yahweh has shown us in the New Testament about where he has given unto David, his son, the earthly throne of David. And it says out there in Luke chapter 1, and let's go and read it. It says that he shall be great, this is verse 32, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Yahweh Elohim shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Okay. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Yahweh. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived thee son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with Elohim nothing shall be impossible. That's the key to the whole thing. With Yahweh nothing is impossible. Okay. We want to keep that in mind. Now, O Yahweh Elohim, let thy promise unto David and my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth and the multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And Yahweh said unto Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. Now this is Yahweh's people. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there be any after thee have the lot. Then the Solomon came from his journey unto the high place that was at Gibeon unto Jerusalem, and before the tabernacle of the congregation, and reigned over Israel. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, which he placed in the chariot cities, and with the king at the Jerusalem. And the king made silver and gold at Jerusalem, as plenteous as stones and cedar trees, made he as a sycamore tree that are in the vale for the abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And they fetched up and brought forth out of Egypt a chariot for 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. And so brought they out horses for all the kings of the Hittites, and for the kings of Assyria by their means. Now, in the second chapter. We just finished the first chapter of 2 Chronicles. Let's just go ahead and read the second chapter. And Solomon determined to build an house for the name of the Yahweh, and a house for his kingdom. And Solomon wants to build a house for Yahweh first. Then he wants to build a house for his kingdom. And Solomon told out 70,000 men. Okay. So that would be 70,000 men to bear burdens, and 80,000 to hew in the mountain, and 3,600 to oversee them. And Solomon sent to Huram, the king of Tyre, saying, "As thou didst deal with David my father, and didst send him cedars to build him an house to dwell therein, even to deal with me, even so deal with me. Behold, I build a house unto the name of the Yahweh my Elohim, to dedicate it unto him, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbath, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feast of the Yahweh our Elohim. This is an ordinance forever unto Israel." Now, isn't this amazing? Yahweh proved this in our day, that this ordinance is forever. Because he raised up the Adventist Church at the end of the 2300-year prophecy, 1844. And the Adventist Church has created a legacy in the earth like no other denominational movement ever has or ever will since 1844. And in 1970, Yahweh raised up a prophet in Israel, like he did King Saul. King Saul, he wasn't created to be a prophet, but Yahweh honored King Saul by giving him that recognition to be a prophet as well as a king and a leader. And Saul, he undeservedly rejected all of it. He didn't deserve any of that recognition that was given to him. So anyway, but the ordinance that was established forever with Solomon was passed right on to the Adventist Church in our day. In 1970, Rolla Johnson was called to occupy the fort at Gilead in the desert, West Texas, 1970, and he gave him the privilege and the commission to raise up the sanctuary and to restore it and put it back into operation and to rightfully and to proper restoration. And you know, you think about this. Ellen G. White had the first vision, and in 1844, 144,000 is to come forth from the Adventist Church. And then she was shown that the sanctuary had a place of services, and here on earth, and that's actually a tabernacle, literal one. And so she went back to the law of Moses and found it. That the sanctuary that was to be restored at the end of the 2300 day had a place in services just like Moses' sanctuary had. And that Moses' sanctuary was a pattern for the one today, so to speak. And that pattern was shown to him from the sanctuary that came down from heaven upon Mount Sinai. So now, here, and Brother Johnson out in the far reaches, way from the Adventist world. Matter of fact, they don't even know who he is. The main leadership of the Adventist world around the world doesn't even know who this man exists. And yet he's a prophet raised up unto Israel. And yet he's fulfilling Ellen G. White's dream that the sanctuary would be restored unto the Adventists and put back in his rightful order. And he did this. And then the Adventists as a body rejected that sanctuary service. And so, but Rollis Johnson was established the new moons. He established the Passover at the appointed time. He established all of the feast days at the appointed time, the correct time of the year. And that was the Passover and the week of unleavened bread. The first day and the last day of the week of unleavened bread is a holy day. He established that by a creation calendar Yahweh gave him to publish. And he established then the Pentecost at the right day. Okay, the first Sunday in, I believe, in June or seventh Sabbath after the Passover week is over. You number them and you come to a Sunday, first day of the week, and you have a Pentecost. Seven weeks after you have the close at the Passover. Then you have the Atonement, which comes about 2 months later. In the seventh month. So this is given all the Rollis. And this is showing that Yahweh has proven right here in verse 4 of 2 Chronicles chapter 2, where Solomon said, "Behold, I build a house unto the name of Yahweh my Elohim, to dedicate it unto him, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual bread, show bread, and for the burnt offerings morning and evening." Now there's your burnt offerings morning and evening. And Rollis even established that time zone and timetable for Israel in 1970. He said the date represents the two times of the day, the third hour and the ninth hour of the day, or sacred hours. And so he restored the date. And says we're to observe these dates. And reiterated that in 1983 when we had some new people come to join us. And they believed in daily, and they told Rollis if he was going to continue on teaching and fall into new moons and all these other holy days, that he was going to have to establish the daily at the third hour and keep it going. And Rollis Johnson had pretty much gotten away from teaching and practicing the daily at the third hour and the ninth hour of the day. And so now here it is. 3 Chronicles chapter 2 verse 4 shows where Solomon for the burnt offerings morning and evening on the Sabbath, S on the word Sabbath, meaning all of the seventh day Sabbath, every seventh day Sabbath was to be offering an offering on the morning and evening. And then said new moons. Well, in Leviticus 23-24 says the new moon is a Sabbath. All your solemn feasts also carries a connotation as a Sabbath. And on the solemn feast of the Yahweh, any day that's set aside by Yahweh that's holy is called a Sabbath. Okay, and on the solemn feast of the Yahweh, this is an ordinance forever unto the Yahweh. What's an order? That you establish those feast days at the appointed time and you establish the daily at the third hour and the ninth hour of the day. Okay, it says, verse 5, "And the house which I build is great, for great is our Elohim above all gods. But who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I, then, that I should build him an house, save only to burn sacrifice before him? Send me now, therefore, a man cunning to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in iron, and in purple, and crimson, and blue, and that can skill to grave with the cunning men that are with me in the Judah and in Jerusalem, whom David my father did provide." Okay. "Send me also cedar trees, fir trees, and algum trees out of Lebanon, for I know that my servants can skill to cut timber in Lebanon, and behold, my servants shall be with thy servant, even to prepare me a timber in abundance, for the house which I am about to build shall be wonderful, great. And behold, I will give unto thy servants the hewers that cut timber 20,000 measures of the beaten wheat, and 20,000 measures of the barley, and 20,000 baths of the wine, and 20,000 baths of the oil. Then Huram, the king of Tyre, answering in the writing which he sent unto Solomon, because the Yahweh hath loved his people, he hath made thee king over them. Huram said, moreover, blessed be the Yahweh Elohim of Israel that made heaven and earth, who hath given unto David, the king, a wise son, endued with the prudence and understanding, that might build an house for the Yahweh and a house for his kingdom. And now I have sent a cunning man, endued with the understanding of Huram, my father's, the son of a woman of the daughters of Dan, and his father was a man of Tyre, skillful to work in gold and in silver, in brass, in iron, in stone, and in timber, in purple, in blue, and in fine linen, and in crimson, also to grave any manner of graving, and to find out every device which shall be put to him with the cunning men, and with the cunning men of my master, David, thy father. Now therefore of the wheat, and the barley, the oil, and the wine, which my master hath spoken of, let him send unto his servant, and we will cut wood out of the Lebanon as much as thou shalt need. We will bring it unto thee in the floats by the sea and the Joppa, and thou shalt carry it up unto Jerusalem. And Solomon numbered all the strangers that were in the land of Israel, after the numbering wherewith David his father had numbered them, and they were four. They were found 150,000 and 3,600. And he set 70,000 of them to be bearers of the burdens, that's 70,000, and 80,000, that's 80,000, to be hewers in the mountain, and 3,600 overseers to set the people a work. Okay, so you had to have overseers to organize these many thousands of workers. That was quite an undertaking, I would say, for Solomon. But what did we learn here? 2 Solomon chapter 2, verse 4. I'm going to read it again. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, I build an house unto the name of Yahweh, my Elohim, to dedicate it unto him, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offering, morning and evening, on the Sabbath, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feast of Yahweh or Elohim. This is an ordinance forever unto Israel. And we have the evidence today that this ordinance is still binding. And it came back and was restored in 1970. Gilead Center with Brother Steady Johnson. As an antithetical King Saul, and showing that the antithetical kingdom of Solomon is now set up. So when Brother Johnson set up those feast days at Gilead Center in 1970, he set up the antithetical kingdom of King Solomon, which was nothing but the antithetical kingdom of David. Because we're in the antitype now, when the glory of this temple is going to exceed that glory of the temple that Solomon built, there will be no comparison. This temple is the temple that is going to be built by Yahshua himself, supervising it, and he's going to build it up with lively pillars, feast-keeping people. That represents an invisible kingdom once it is set up. Being set up is an invisible kingdom. That's reading it says right over there in Luke 17:20. Let's turn and read it. He said that, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of the Yahweh should come, this is the kingdom of David. He answered them and said, for the kingdom of the Yahweh cometh not with the observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of Yahweh is within you. Okay. So that's what exactly took place at Kermit in 1970. The kingdom of Yahweh came unto Gilead Center to be restored. And the reason why Brother Johnson was able to restore it, because the kingdom of Yahweh was put into his heart at the time. That's the only way that he could restore that by the Spirit, is to have it put in his heart. Okay. But he, in Luke 17:21, it says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of Yahweh is within you. Okay. So even though the kingdom was set up in the Antitype with Willis Johnson at Kermit, Texas, it didn't stand. But the principles of the everlasting kingdom of heaven stands. It stands with his servants that are sanctified and believe. And he, that's the reason why the kingdom was set up with King Saul. But Yahweh established the first kingdom of Israel with King Saul as the first king of Israel. And he sent Samuel. He was a prophet, a purified man that was able to go and sanctify King Solomon. I mean King Saul for his ministry. And but the kingdom it was a temporal kingdom with King Saul. So likewise with Willis Johnson, even though he set up the antithetical kingdom of Solomon, it was a temporal kingdom. As Solomon's kingdom in his day was a temporal kingdom. But the everlasting covenant made with David is what continued the kingdom on from one generation to another, from one king to another. It was the everlasting covenant that continued on. The everlasting covenant was picked up with the Advent in 1844. It continued on with V.T. Hollis in 1930. It continued on with Willis Johnson in 1970. And now it's going to continuing on now with Elijah David here in the 12th hour. Okay. That's the reason why he said the kingdom cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of Yahweh is within you. So, the kingdom of Yahweh was reestablished in 1844 with the Advent. And, but who was it renewed with? His preordained servants that succeeded him at the prophetic intervals that was laid out for this great movement of the Advent Church. And there was three intervals that was laid out for the Adventists. And that was the first feeding pasturbation. It came to an end in 1890. The second feeding pasture, Carmel. It had its beginning in 1890. And actually, Carmel had an 80-year period. The Shepherd God. It had a 40-year preparation from 1890 to 1930, where Ezekiel 4 contained the prophecy that said that he was to lay on his right side for the iniquity of the house of Judah, which is today translates into the Shepherd God, for 40 days, a day for a year. For the sanctifying of the tribe of Judah for its ministry when it comes forth in 1930. So the Shepherd Rod had an 80-year period from 1890 to 1970. We haven't taught this way before, but this is the truth of the prophecy. The Mount Bashan had its run actually from 1844 to 1890. A 45, 46-year period. But technically, it has a 40-year period of latitude, which is called a generation. And then you had the second generation of Advent, which had a 40-year spiritual fast from 1890 to 1930 for Judah. And then Vitihalif had the commission from 1930 to 70 to continue on Judah's message that was developed for 40 years from 1890 to 1930. And then the Shevirot had that perisha for 40 years. And so the kingdom just continued to develop through these prophecies. Okay? The prophecies is what develops the kingdom today. So if you don't, that's the reason why I said in 2 Peter 1:19, said you have also more sure word of prophecy if you do well to take heed. And we're not just turn to that and read it. And so it says we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Let's read. Let's just read a few verses before that. 2 Peter chapter 1. It says in verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Savior Yeshua Messiah, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from the Yahweh the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice unto him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from the heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Now he's talking about this voice of his Son, Yahshua. Then he said, "But we have also a more sure word of prophecy." We have a more sure word of prophecy than just the words that we got from Yahshua directly. "Whereunto you do well, you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." So now prophecy shines in a dark place. "Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." So now, looky here. Isn't this amazing? In our day, 1844, prophecy shined upon the Adventist. In 1833, the prophecy shined in a dark place upon William Miller. In 1810, the prophecy shined in a dark place upon Alexander Campbell, the Baptist, that started the Christian movement of Baptists with the doctrine of baptism by the immersion. And then in 1725, the prophecy shined in a dark place in England upon John Wesley, the Methodist. And he started the reform movement of the Methodist, the doctrine of grace. And then in 1543, the prophecy shined in a dark place upon John Knox. It came out of the Catholic Church behind Luther, and he formed the Presbyterian Church, and with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy shined in a dark place. Prophecy shined in a dark place for Martin Luther in 1500 to come out of the Catholic Church and to form the Lutheran Church with the doctrine of the just shall live by faith, or the righteous by faith in the blood of Yahshua, or the blood of the everlasting covenant, either way you want to put it. So, this is what it's talking about. "We have also a more sure word of the prophecy, whereunto you do well, as you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Okay. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of Elohim spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Okay. So now Yahweh has anointed me as a prophet, and he's anointed me as one of these preordained holy men that has the interpretation of prophecy. Okay. So this is what it is. "For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of a man, but holy men of Elohim spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So now as the Holy Spirit gives me my message day by day, I speak as the message that He gives me. And today, this is what I'm speaking today. He gave me my message today as soon as I sit down here at my desk. He didn't give it to me before, but I'm preaching to you right now. He gave it to me after I sit down and after I had my psalm and opening prayer. Then we sit down here and turn on the microphone, and then that's when He gave me my message for today that you're hearing right now. Okay? So this is what I'm talking about. You have also a more sure word of prophecy whereby you do, if you will, you take heed and as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. Until that spiritual day dawns to let you know where you're at in the stream of time. Let the world know where they're at in the stream of time. And the day star arise in your heart. Okay. Now this is wonderful news for today, because Yahweh has brought me through a very dark valley. He brought me through the valley of the shadow of death. And so with that in mind, I'm going to read that to close out my prayer thought, taken from Psalms chapter 23. It says, the Yeshua is my shepherd. Now, David, that wrote this psalm, he's talking about Yeshua, the Son, is my shepherd. Now, David was a shepherd for the house of Jesse. Jesse, his father, is a symbol of the Adventist church in its beginning, 1844. David is a symbol of the son of Jesse, the shepherd's rod, in 1930. So now here is David saying, the Yahshua is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of the righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Yahweh forever, and His Son, Yahshua. Well, folks, I know about this valley of the shadow of death. I've been through it. And within the last 4 years, I've been through the valley of the shadow of death no less than at least three times that Satan sought my life. And I had to go to the hospital on emergencies. I had nearly all the answers to health reform and so forth, but I didn't have them all. I didn't understand my circumstances for the stress that I was living under with people living on this grounds with me. But I had this physical problem before I ever came here in 2003. I developed this physical problem in my stomach when I was with Rhoda Johnson. Even though they did a lot to help me when I first met them, to overcome stomach problems that I had before I met the Johnsons in 1970. And so the Johnsons helped me an awful lot in the beginning with them, but then I redeveloped the reoccurring stomach problems, and when I left there, I brought it with me. And so I had to end up with an emergency operation here March the 4th of 2014. But you know what? Yahweh's hand was on me. He was on me. He brought me up out of that. He taught me now. He's taught me how to have 100% diet to completely be restored now in my mind, body, and spirit. And I am so thankful that if I had to go through this to learn my lessons, how to properly now to conduct my own personal life along with Yahweh's ministry. If that's what it took, I praise Yahweh for it, because he was with me all the way through it. And as I had come to the point of death at least three different times in the last 4 years, but the doctor told me if I'd have been a day longer, I would have died. So that's pretty awesome, folks. Satan definitely was after me, and I knew that he was after me to catch me in some weak point that he could destroy me. And so Yahweh overruled. This is where we're at today. Okay, let's get into now a little bit of our study here. Upshoots, not offshoots. This is Time of Reading, Volume 2, Number 10. And it says, it's a text of address by the V.P. Harder. They didn't give a date on this one, but that's okay. It says, in some messages we are often asked what the D in the time of greetings means in the connection with the name Seventh-day Adventist. We shall endeavor to explain that the D stands for the Davidian. The publishers, rather than printing the name in full, often use the abbreviated form D when the space is limited. Fundamentally, we are Seventh-day Adventists. Ever since the leading brethren of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination rejected the addition unto the third angel's message, early writings, page 377, in the same fashion as the Jews turned down the gospel of the Yahshua, and as the popular churches turned down the message that followed thereafter, we have fundamentally remained Seventh-day Adventists. We are separated from the mother church because the lukewarm brethren by the majority vote disfellowship us and put a guard at the church doors to make sure that we could not enter into the churches on the Sabbath day. Evidently they did these things in order to force us to renounce the Yahshua's revealed truth, and also to frighten those who were embracing present truth and those who might investigate for themselves and accept the message of the hour. There could be no reason for dismissing us, as we could not turn our backs upon the Elohim sent meat in due season. We were, of course, compelled to add Davidian unto the name Seventh-day Adventist, lest we be accused of misrepresentation. We have never, however, separated ourselves from the denomination. As a people, we still attend the denominational churches whenever we are not barred from entering. Our work is strictly within our denomination, as was John's and Yahshua's within their denomination. Even though Brother Johnson said in 1970 he separated and he distanced the Gilead Center from the Seventh-day Adventist. But V.T. Hollifield here is, if Brother Johnson had been a real student of V.T. Hollifield, he would have known. But yet, nevertheless, Brother Johnson still directed me when I joined him in 1970. He said, you go to Adventist, that's where we're supposed to go. But he distanced himself from the Adventist, and he called himself, but he named his movement the 11th Hour Adventist Remnant Church. But nevertheless, he says, we are a whole new movement. We are a whole new organization. We're a whole new denomination. We're just to take our message back to the Adventist Church, but we're a whole new movement. Well, V.T. Hollis, he didn't talk that language. He didn't talk and explain his movement that way. Let's go ahead. We're on page 18. He says, our work is strictly within our denomination, as was John's and Yahshua's within their denomination. Our fundamental beliefs are therefore the same as those of the denomination, with the exception of the additional doctrinal truths of which the additional message brings it. Well, this is what Brother Johnson could say. In 1970, we're fundamentally our beliefs are therefore the same as those of the Adventist denomination in Gilead Center was. Brother Johnson, he pretty much taught it the way that they taught the doctrines, with the exception of the additional doctrinal truth which the additional message brings us. Circumstances, therefore, have placed us in a situation similar unto that of the apostles, for their fundamental beliefs, too, were the fundamental beliefs of the Jews, and in addition unto these, they had the gospel of the Yeshua. In order to cast reproach and to prejudice the people against the heaven-sent message, the opposition ironically calls us all shoes for their very expression against us, however, proves us right and them wrong. Were it not for all shoes, the apostolic congregation would have never come into being. No, not even the Protestant churches during the starting with Martin Luther in 1500. And that was the Protestant churches of the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, and the Baptists. It says for the Seventh-day Adventists either. So how about William Miller, 1833? So thank Elohim that we have had the fortitude to not make flesh our arm, not to take the word of the priests and rabbis, as it were, but to look into it ourselves, personally, to know what truth is, and to withstand reproach, as did those who have gone before us. Here is where fittingly and timely the prophet Isaiah's statement applies. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, and Yahweh saw it, and it displeased him. Okay, it says that there was no judgment, Isaiah 59:15. The truth of the matter, however, is that the so-called all shoes are but up shoes. And let us ever remember that as a tree dies, when it fails to make an upshoot each season, and so does a church when she fails to keep up with the heaven's advancing truth. Even the world knows that the upshoots have ever kept the church alive and free, and that upshoots ever will. We therefore feel greatly honored to be upshoots rather than dormant buds. Yes, it is a great honor to be persecuted, scoffed at, and abused for the Yahshua's sake and his truth. So the Yahshua declares, blessed are ye when men shall hate you. And well, I would never believe, and ever, that the time would come when Brother Johnson would turn on me and actually tell me that he hated me. But that's exactly what he expressed in 2002, when we had our separation. I was hated by everyone. Okay, and so, as the Adventists hated the shepherd rod, okay, and the shepherd rod, the Davidians, hated the Verlus Johnson. They hated Gilead Center. Oh, they hated the Gilead Center with a vehemence, just like the Adventists hated the rod. And Brother Johnson hated the everlasting kingdom of David once it showed up to succeed him. He hated it. Oh, with a hatred that had murder in his eyes. It was such a hatred. Okay, and it says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you. So, Yahweh sent Yahshua to bless the house of David. Because we had stood our ground, we had stood our guard at the Gilead Center for 33 years. We stood our guard. We stood up for what we were sent there for. My wife and I, her and I started out at the beginning of Gilead Center, 1970. We stood our ground. And by doing this, he blessed us. And he brought us here and he has shown us by blessing us. And when they shall separate you from their coming, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake, rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets, Luke 6:22 and 23. Hear the word of the Yahweh, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Yeshua be glorified, but he shall appear unto your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Isaiah 66:5. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Yahweh, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith Yahweh, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered, for I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Okay, so now I have children lost out there in the world. But Yahweh's, he's sustaining them, and he's taking care of them at my request. I'm asking him to save my children. Isaiah 49:23-25. It is plain to see that those who cast out truth, believing brethren from their midst, are doing it by the command of the evil one. So who was in charge of Gilead sin in 2002? When that insurrection took place? Oh, Satan. Satan had moved in while they were bowing at the altar, while we were bowing at the altar. Yeshua moved away from it. And Satan moved in and took his place, and they knew it not, fulfilling Ellen G. White's statement in the early writing. Okay, for those who are mindful of the Yahshua's command, do not cast even the terrors. They know that the church's cleansing work belongs to the angels only. The word of Johnson said when he cast me out, he said, well, I went to the Lord. And I asked him, well, what should I do? Should I wait for the atonement? Or should I? He said, do it now. I said, he's been giving you trouble for 32 years. I said, do it now so you can have the people prepared for the atonement. I said, you get him out of there now. So he cast me out. Okay. I then saw the third angel, said my coming angel. Fearful is his work. Awful is his mission. He is the angel that is to select the wheat from the tares and seal or bind the wheat for the heavenly garner. These things should engross the whole mind, the whole attention. Early writings, page 118. Again, the kingdom of the heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew unto the shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of the fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of the teeth. Matthew 13:47-50. So, be we right or be we wrong. We know that the works of the brethren are not in the harmony with the Yahshua, for the pioneers of the Christian faith. He's talking about the apostles, or maybe he's talking about Ellen G. White, probably our pioneers in 1844. The pioneers of the Christian faith gave their lives for the true sake. Well, this is talking about the apostles in the first century. Why should not we? Now, to judge whether we are Seventh-day Adventists or not, let me set before you our fundamental beliefs from the booklet, Fundamental Beliefs and Directory. Here you will notice that the entire list of the fundamental beliefs is quoted from the yearbook of the SDA denomination. And why? Simply because their beliefs are our beliefs, too. And you will notice the additional doctrinal truths that follow. Now, this is where V.T. Holliff really exposed his hand and showed that he was also embracing that false doctrine of the Trinity that the Catholic Church invented and created and put forth into all the world. And the Protestant Christian churches absorbed that doctrine and took it into their being. But you had a few occultic sects that didn't do that. They wouldn't accept that Trinity version as a Catholic Church published. You had the Jehovah's Witnesses of the One. Well, I mean, they rose up against that doctrine. And but the Adventist Church embraced it. But the Jehovah's Witnesses, they teach falsely. They wrote their own Bible, and they condemned the King James. But they didn't condemn the Trinity the way that they interpret it, because they interpret it right. Matter of fact, they interpret it according to the King James, but yet they despise the King James, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They've written their own Bible. Let's go on. It says, fundamental beliefs of the Division of Seventh-day Adventists. Emerging in 1930 from within the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, the Church of the Letter Sin, the Division Seventh-day Adventist Association, has ever been committed unto the prophetic work predicted in Isaiah 51, as preparing the Letter Sin Church, the last with the tares among the wheat, for the final proclamation of the gospel. And here he is, the Theotokos, prophesying the Gilead Center in the 11th hour. He's prophesying for the 11th hour. And he's in the 10th hour at the time he's making this prophecy. And so here he is projecting what's going to take place with the 11th hour movement at Gilead Center and didn't realize it. I don't think V.T. Hollis saw the third feeding pastor. I don't think he saw the third feeding pastor succeeding him. Okay. So it says... I think V.T. Hollis believed that he was in the third feeding pastor, no doubt. And anyway, it says, emerging in 1930 from within the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, the Church of the Letter Sin, the Seventh-day Adventist, the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist Association has ever been committed unto the prophetic work predicted in Isaiah 51, as of preparing the Letter Sin Church, Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, the last with the tares among the wheat for the final proclamation of the gospel in all the world, Matthew 14:14. You know, I'm going to bring this study to a close right there. But my next study, I'm going to pick up right where I left off here, the fundamental beliefs of the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. And I'm going to continue that with my part 11 of the Everlasting Kingdom of the David. We will close now this service with a song. There's sunshine in my soul today. There's sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky, for yonder is not a light. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Yahshua will show the smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to the King. And Yahshua listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Yahshua shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in the soul. There's springtime in my soul today, for when Yahshua is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart, the flowers of grace appear. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll, when your silver shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There's gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love. for blessing which he gives me now, for joys laid up above. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll, when the ushers show his smiling face, hear his sunshine in the soul.